Welcome to the Talking Transformation podcast. I'm your podcast host, Peter Ahmad, recording from Cape Town, South Africa, since June 2019. The Talking Transformation podcast provides an open and accessible platform for built environment professionals and interest groups to share their reflections and aspirations relating to the transformation of places and spaces in South Africa. It's intended to be a celebration of the individuals and community groups who are supporting formal and informal processes that are addressing the challenges of South Africa's history and shaping the future of our neighbourhoods and cities. We're straight into the second of three podcasts recorded at the City of Cape Town's Spatial and Planning Urban Design exhibition that took place between July 27th and August the 2nd. In our first episode, we heard from the management and organisation teams from the city's planning department, and in this second episode, we shift our focus to the voices of the tertiary academic participants, the lecturers and the students who took part and exhibited and presented in the programme. The exhibition afforded the students the opportunity to present to a much broader audience and test some of their theory and practical observations and the tools that they've developed with a broader community that elevated the discussions beyond the class crit session. It was evidently a great success and really welcomed by both the students and lecturers alike. In this episode, you're going to hear from 10 participants. They each take the time to introduce themselves, and I want to take this opportunity to thank all of them for taking the time to reflect on their inputs and to share their thoughts. As always, we hope you enjoy their inputs and the episode. So I'm joined here by members from the University of the Western Cape, as well as the Cape Peninsula University
of Technology.
Not bad. So CPUT and UWC, you're very, very welcome here. Perhaps you'd like to introduce yourselves, and then we can talk a bit about what you've seen today and what your students are presenting on.
I'm Belinda Verster. I'm from CPUT in the Urban Planning Department. It's been quite an extraordinary opportunity for our students.
Hi, I'm Cara Vandenberg. I'm from the University of the Western Cape in the Information Systems Department. We're kind of working more what we call digital social innovation. Oh, okay. So we're designing more things like applications, awesome. And websites and those kind of things, working with the community.
Fascinating. Look forward to hearing a bit about that. Linda, let's start with yourself. Tell us a bit about what you've heard today, what you've seen, and maybe a bit about what we can expect from your presentations from the students today.
So we've been working with the City of Cape Town from the beginning of the year, specifically with Liesel Kruger Fountain. She's very passionate, as everybody would know in general, but about Dunoon. And we were looking for a specific urban case study. And Dunoon has got all that complexity, specifically with the complex type of project that we have, bringing information systems together with urban planning, which is not a natural occurrence. Those are two professions or disciplines that don't naturally work together. But to bring these two disciplines together, and City of Cape Town provided this opportunity for us in Dunoon. And our students just finished their presentation now, and I think it went amazingly. It's quite a few months of work that they've put in.
Wonderful. Look forward to hearing from them and what their take home from it has been. And from the information system side?
What we decided, it was quite interesting. We started talking, saying that when we look at our students, the urban planning students understand the problems in communities very well. But coming up with solutions is maybe not so natural to them. And I said, well, my students in information systems know all about technology and they learn about technology and the impact of technology in business and society. But they often don't really spend enough time with a problem. They just come up with solutions because that's kind of how they trained. And then the technology is not really designed fit for purpose. So we decided a good idea is to put these two groups together,
brilliant.
Where they work with the communities trying to find solutions for problems faced in this year. As Belinda was saying, we started working in the area of Dunoon. And fantastic, fascinating things came about. I think they really did understand much better what we call wicked problems are that you're finding in communities. And then coming up with very creative solutions that we hope we can take further.
Well, you certainly couldn't have come across, as you say, a more complex, an area really in need of innovation and approaches than Dunoon. Was there a particular reason that took you into that space, Belinda?
I think we were looking for that complexity in the first place. So we didn't want the simple spaces or the well-designed and developed and resourced spaces. I think that's quite
important.
Too
easy, right?
Yeah, well, yeah, it's too easy, but the need isn't that great.
For sure.
And I think our social consciousness really drive our students as well to be busy with meaningful work. And I think the last place where you would find or would expect digital innovation is in a place like Dunoon, where you would find low-tech innovations from the communities. And we actually wanted to capture some of those low-tech innovations and see how high-tech technology can help and assist people. So we're not scared. I think 3 years of working together showed that we're not scared of any of the problems. And we need to engage with the complexity. We need our students to engage with it because life's complex and they're going to go out into this complex life and they need some tools in their toolkit.
And also talking about the technology, which from my side with my students finding so interesting is how they suddenly started thinking about the technology and the solutions and the type of technology that we design, the low tech, low data, those kind of solutions that they started engaging with because they really got a real deep understanding of the complexities that reside in there. So I think together we're planning to take this project forward, growing, start still working in that community, but really starting to form a very good bond with people in the community and to try and now create some continuation so that it's not just a student project, but that is a project that we can really take forward.
You're dealing there, I guess, with the ingredient of trust, building that trust and,
exactly.
and the sustainability element,
exactly.
which is so important. Well, best of luck with that. I am going to take this opportunity, Belinda, whilst I have you here. If I'm not mistaken, one of your former students from a long time ago, Ashley Manyara, is presenting the spatial costing
right,
tool.
Right, yes.
Tell it, what sense of pride does that give you when you see someone like Ashley is one of your one of your pupils who's now, I mean, one of the leading thinkers on this in the country?
Yeah, absolutely. I saw Ashley on Thursday evening and she was so excited to show a poster to me. And my first response was, oh goodness, now I have to assess it and mark it. So the lecturer never stops. But yeah, City of Cape Town has got a lot of my students and it is like a reunion out there. So it's absolutely brilliant. And I'm definitely dragging Ashley back to our department to come and present in our department.
Fantastic. Thanks very much for sharing. And I think this is something I'd really like to pick up in more detail, perhaps on a dedicated podcast to talk about this collaboration, what you've got out of it. So the invitation is there. But for the time being, enjoy the rest of your time here. Good luck to the both of you.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
So in our previous conversation, we spoke to two of the lecturers from CPUT and the University of the Western Cape talking about the initiative in Dunoon. And it was really interesting to understand how the collaboration took place there and what unfolded in Dunoon. But we really wanted to understand from those who were doing it in the field, working with the community in Dunoon, the students. I've got four of them here. Welcome to all four of you. Let's just go through who's who. Clayton, let's start with you, sir.
Yes, good day, everyone. My name is Clayton Lincoln Otto, originally from Business Plain, so yes.
Good day, everyone. My name is Ethan Oren, sir. I'm a student at the University of the Western Cape, and I reside in Athlone.
Hi, everyone. My name is Brent Barnard. I'm currently a fourth-year student at CPUT, known as Cape Peninsula University of Technology.
Hi, everyone. I'm Michaela Swartz, also a student at the University of the Western Cape. I'm doing my honours in information systems.
All four of you, really welcome. You've just presented. How did the presentation go down?
It was so nerve-wracking, but I think we all learned a lot from everyone else's presentation. It was really good to see how much everyone cared about the community of Dunoon and to learn everything that they've learned.
What is it that you presented to them? What was it you were showing and telling today, Clayton?
Our group presented regarding food vendors within Dunoon. We focus on the challenges and in innovation of where we can come up with solutions of how we can serve the residents and how we can partnership with the City of Cape Town or all stakeholders in a wider viewpoint. So yeah, that was my presentation that I shared on behalf of the group.
I understand that it was a collaboration from sort of a design and planning space with what I would call more the IT and the app base. How did you marry these two things? That sounds fascinating.
So what we wanted to really do in this project was we wanted to take everything that the CPUT students, the urban planning students knew and the information students from UWC to better understand how we could maybe take our different mindsets and take our disciplines and maybe like combine it together because we learned this. The main point of this assignment was to use collaboration as a tool to help really create innovative ideas, to help make a term called digital social innovation, which we wanted to focus on with each and every of our disciplines. For example, my discipline or the problem that my group focused on was food insecurity in Dunoon. And what we wanted to ensure was that we don't just make a one-time solution, but that we made a sustainable long-term solution through the power of technology while also understanding the problem itself a lot better.
Also, Dunoon, it's not necessarily an urban planning issue as it's already an established community. It's not an empty canvas where we can plan and make it happen the way we want it to happen. So everything that's happening is already existing. We need to come up with solutions. And I think innovative solutions come about when we think of the digital world. We have to think about what's coming up in the future, what's going to be sustainable.
What was the problem statement that you found, and what does your solution do?
The group that I was part of, the problem statement was regarding the sustainable development goals, right? And we focus on SDG goal number 8 and SDG goal number 11. With this, we see that we need to build the communities, right, regarding the food vendors and how we projected. We had 4 prototypes, and each prototype is regarding how to enhance the community and to not take away the income or sort of income, but how can we build, you know, on that, and how can we make it regulated? Because at the moment, there is, you know, food vendors that is rising up for the income for the household. But how can we stretch a hand and say, okay, right, this is the procedures of which we can take, and not to take away your income, because it's the area of, or the community of the Dunoon is very low.
Income point of view, it's a low income community, 100%.
My problem statement focused on the informal housing challenges that the residents face due to overpopulation from the rapid urbanization that occurred. And the solution or the apps that we prototyped to combat that or help in any way that we can was, in our initial stages, we found that a lot of people erect homes out of necessity, and they erect it in unsafe places close to the river, which caused landslides. The soil's not stable. They would erect it on top of power lines, and it could cause fires and things. So one of the prototypes that we designed allows for information on, I wouldn't say proper, but like better resources, so that they would know what is unsafe, what materials can they use to mitigate fires, floods.
So almost like a de-risking tool, something that can help from the outset.
Definitely.
To minimize risk.
Our group focused on food insecurity in Dunoon, and what we really wanted to do there was, as previously mentioned, we wanted to create a sustainable solution, because it's easy to just make a one-time fix-off by just having a stool and having food there. But the thing is, that's not sustainable at the end of the day. That's why we wanted to use technology to innovate maybe a bit more ideas. And that's where collaborating with the CPUT students and us UWC students came in, because we managed to get some great ideas off the floor by collaborating together. So the one prototype that I presented was a CropTech, which was an app that would teach or upskill users on how to grow certain crops in the area, and would provide the various information. And what we wanted to do was, because it's the noon, we wanted to make it user friendly by allowing them the language feature, which would convert it to any language that they would prefer, because at the end of the day, there's no point in using an application and the user isn't happy at the end. And the second application was called Neighbourly Noms, which was an application that was going to be the middleman between the local food producers and the food banks and those types of organizations. So what we wanted to do was provide more food, but at the same time we also wanted to upskill. So like with CropTech, we wanted to upskill people, so maybe that could be the catalyst for entrepreneurship maybe within Dunoon, and yet also empowering them with new skills so that they could earn a good living. Because the main response that we heard when we went into the field in terms of food insecurity was that the people were highly reliant on the grants that they used to receive, and we thought with CropTech and Neighbourly Noms that we could help with that particular issue.
So lastly, our group focused on the natural environment challenges. So we specifically chosen water pollution within Dunoon. Water pollution is a big issue, especially in the local Deep River, as well as the pollutions as a result of a lack of proper sanitation infrastructure, the waste disposal, leading to people having health issues. So therefore, we decided to create four diverse prototypes to address various issues. So the first one was a mobile application. So this can get basic information resources, because once we interviewed the people, we identified that none of them knows what water pollution is, especially in environmental challenges. So then the second one we developed was a website. So it was internet free as well, but the website provides diversity in terms of it can be used in the schools, businesses in the local area, so that it can spark, for example, like environmental society, so that people can take initiative and have clean days or learn more about water pollution and find solutions on how they can achieve it. We then decided to also use the educational kiosk. So this can be placed also in the schools, in the library. So just it's a user-friendly interface so that people can just get basic information. The city can also use it as an advertising board, for especially when it's flood season, to prevent further water contamination as a result of flooding. And then we also decided to use a water drone. So basically, we just try to create diversity, as I stated before, just to give the people the platform to start and to be encouraged to create their own innovative ways, because we know that water pollution will always be there, and there's a whole lot of challenges related to it. So once we start off small by just giving them a platform, we hopefully can see that it's gaining insight and that people are interested and more people can talk about it. Yeah.
How did you find the community there in Dunoon responded to when you went into that space and said, look, we're coming, we'd like to talk to you about solutions and an approach? How did you first of all understand that problem statement and unpack that with the community?
So it was actually an exciting experience, because the community, they were actually friendly. They were willing to share their experiences, their stresses, their concerns, and was actually grateful, because we know that some people are very shy to share their experiences, and they might think of a different perspective, or they think we're not here for the right reason. So yeah, it was really exciting. We gained a lot of information. We've learned a lot, actually. Yeah.
Who are the planners in the room, and who are the information systems guys? Let's get a by sense of hands. Who's who?
Okay, so Clayton is speaking here. So I'm the urban planner student, and then as well as Brent, who just spoke now before me.
And Ethan and I are information systems students.
Tell us a bit about finding each other and finding out how this collaboration between your disciplines was going to work, and how do you think that could start to become... Could this be a business that you could start to think about combining these two and going into a very different space and place for your career going forward?
It was really interesting. I think information students are really technical, but we lack awareness of the city. We like to call ourselves global citizens. We like to think of what solutions we could invent, but we often don't think about what's happening in our own backyard. And urban planning students helped us a lot with that. They informed us about policy, legislation. It really was a well-rounded collaboration, I think.
Brent, the future, what do you think?
Yes. So from an urban planning perspective, it was really exciting, because as urban planners, we're always there for the people and the community. So we're always flexible and we're productive and we're resilient, so meaning we can adapt to anything. So especially introducing the digital innovation from the information systems, it broadened our perspective on various issues and ways how we can achieve greater communities, such as Dunoon.
Where can people find out more about what you've done there? If it was an app that you developed, was it some sort of web-based? Was there something that people can actually go and visit and see what you've done? Or what's the approach there, Clayton?
Okay, so at the moment, it's just prototypes. So we have not invented it as yet.
So if anyone wants to fund us, please.
So it was just, an idea. And we can just see, I always believe that you must start somewhere. And by doing this, we're all starting somewhere. So if it takes off, it takes off. But yeah.
So okay, let's take it one step back. You've got a proposal. It's in, what do you call it, beta form. Is that the fancy word?
Yeah.
And you want to do something with it. You want to try and get some funding to support. Where can people get hold of one or all of you that they could understand this? Maybe they hear it and say, this sounds fascinating. So what's the pitch first? And second of all, where can people get hold of you?
The best way to get hold of us is through Dr. Belinda and Dr. Caroline, as they will inform us about, like, if they need information or anything regarding the prototypes. But the website is in development currently with all the projects relating to the exhibition on the noon with all the groups where you can find all the information. But
fantastic.
It's still in development as we speak.
To all four of you, it sounds like you've had your work cut out. Well done. I'm sorry I missed your presentation whilst we've been interviewing, but really I hope you get lots of great feedback. I hope also you get a chance to have a look at what else has been showcased here today and take something away as much as you contributed. So well done. Good luck to you. And I'm looking forward to seeing where the four of you go. It sounds like you've got a fantastic future ahead of you. Keep safe.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. And thank you for the opportunity.
Absolute pleasure. I'm now joined by members of the University of Cape Town's Urban Design Lecturing Team, as well as one of the participants, one of the students who's presented this morning. Welcome to you both. Perhaps you'd just like to introduce yourself, and then we can talk a bit about what you've seen and what you've presented this morning.
Hi, my name is Catherine Ewing. I am the convener of the Master of Urban Design program at the University of Cape Town.
Hi, I'm Lee, and I've just graduated from the MUD program. And I'm very happy to be here.
Well, let's start with you first then, Lee. Congratulations. Well done. I'm sure that was a long slog, but hopefully it's paid off dividends and you're going to look back with a great deal of pride. And you presented some of that work today. Tell us a bit about your presentation based around Philippi and some of the roads in and around that space.
I think just landing in Philippi was the challenge, and I think that it's a complicated area to kind of navigate, and a series of issues that need to be unpacked quite delicately and with a lot of kind of intent and engagement with community, because I think that's a big portion of it.
And in terms of the theory that you've taught across to students like Lee and so forth, how important is that to get that foundation right? And how does it feel when you see one of your students actually come into a space like here at the Civic Center and start to present that to people who've been working in the field for many, many years?
I think it's really important to understand that the projects we do actually have practical application. And Lee's project brought around these issues of incremental urban design, which are fundamental for dealing with in our cities, which are so resource hungry and in need of practical approaches to environments and where there are very complex conditions, informality and environments that have high crime. So I think Lee's project brought around some practical strategies, spatial strategies for intervention. And seeing the work today was really fabulous. One feels quite proud of your students when they're presenting, but also I think it's really nice in terms of the way that the opportunity that students have had today to showcase the work that they've done that normally stays within the universities. So that is a very important point, is to kind of get it out there. So from that perspective, it's really exciting to see some different kind of urban design work that's coming out through the students.
And I know it's early days. I think you probably came in, set up and presented. But Lee, I mean, anything that you've seen or that you've heard since your presentation today, or something that you really have come and would like to engage with further with the departmental representatives here today?
There was a conversation that I had just a little bit about women in the spatial sphere and like how to better look after women in cities. And I think that that is something that I'm quite interested in and I think we should focus a bit more on.
Is that something that you touch on in at least the theory side?
It's certainly something we would like the students to actually actively engage with. There are many multiple complex issues in terms of what our cities offer us, so absolutely.
Anything final before we wrap?
No, just massive gratitude and thanks to you guys for having us here and the opportunity, and thanks to you for being willing to have a chat.
It's absolutely my pleasure.
Great. No, really exciting to be in the space, and I hope that it happens again next year.
Whether they realize it or not, they're setting themselves a benchmark here, which is going to be year on year. I mean, this is it's a landmark event. In the meantime, thanks so much for your contributions today, for being here and for the presentation. All the best to you, Lee, and wherever your career takes you. It's going to be fascinating to watch.
Thank you so much.
So I'm here with some of the members of the Stellenbosch University, traveled through today to be at the Civic Center here in Cape Town. Who do I have here?
I'm Lusanda Msindo. I'm a student doing Masters in Urban Science and Regional Planning in Stellenbosch University.
Morning, Pete. I'm Donnie Duplessis from Stellenbosch University, from the Department of Geography and Environmental Studies. And we run a Masters program and some other postgraduate programs in urban or regional planning.
Well, welcome across the border here in Cape Town. Nice to have you here. And what have been your immediate observations of what you've seen and what you've heard in terms of the presentations that have been made and the exhibitions that are taking place here today?
I think, first of all, the quality of the presentations around, having been exposed to quite a bit of the type of products that are on show here today, I must say, is very impressive. It's clear that a lot of work has gone into it. And from a personal interest point of view, the use of information and evidence-informed type of planning is something that really impressed me from the presentations. And I think just generally walking into the building this morning, one got a sense of an organization where people is busy doing productive work and are proud of what they are doing.
As Dr. Du Plessis said, the amount of information that is presented, it shows what is important in the communities. More especially how the communities are relating to space and how the communities can be involved and being part of planning processes.
How important is it to link that idea of the town in the gown, i.e. where the academics has its place? I think we talked about this last week, Dani, about the academics perspective and then the practical coming into actually the doing and working with the communities and actually implementing projects with budget, etc. Any reflections and thoughts on that strength and that linkage between the two institutions, which are obviously vital, the academic sector as well as the governance sector?
I think it's something that I've personally always been quite passionate about, is to get an improved working together of the academic sector and what is generally referred to as practice. I think I've been fortunate to have two phases in my career, one in practice as a consultant, and one an academic, so I've seen both sides of the coin. And I think really the benefits that can be obtained from working closely together, rather than to see it as a type of a dichotomous situation where academics write their papers and people in practice do the real work, is actually taking us away from what the primary focus of the profession should be. So I think really getting the two closer together is something that I've always tried to focus on.
I would like to echo that, because it's not a matter of closing the gap between the two, but it's the interface, how the two are working together. Because the plans cannot be just good on paper. They must also address the realities, you know, the lived realities of the public. That is how the value of planning can be obtained.
We have presentations this afternoon from the University of Stellenbosch. Do you want to tell us a bit about what the audience and those attending will get to see and hear?
Yes, we've got two presentations from two students as part of the program. The first presentation looks at the impact and the relationship between crime and the built environment, which is not really a new topic. It's been researched in the past, but what the study is trying to achieve is to quantify statistically what is the relationship between spatial patterns of crime over a 10-year period and the key aspects of the built environment? With the primary purpose, if we control for socioeconomic conditions, what impact can we have through planning on crime in the long term? That is the first presentation. And then the second one looks at the provision of informal sports facilities and what the relationship is between formal standards, formal planning standards, and as Lusanda said, the lived realities of lower income communities, specifically in terms of creating their own facilities, and to try and put some quantified analysis in on this important matter.
Lusanda, anything you'd like to add?
Yes, without giving too much away about the upcoming presentations from our department, I think what is important is how the infrastructure is impacting on the social aspects of the communities, how that can be improved to manage those social aspects.
Anything else that you're particularly looking for from this next few hours that you're going to be spending here, or anything that you've picked up from the presentations and, as I say, those exhibits outside?
I think from my side, one of the important reasons for us being here today is to expose the students in the program to the actual real world of spatial planning and the various elements thereof. We're right in the middle of a module at the moment where we are talking about the processes and the products related to spatial planning. And I think The opportunity today is really at an ideal time to infuse some of the practical realities of the students and indicating to them, you know, what it looks like in the real world.
From my side, really looking forward to hearing what the Stellenbosch presentations are, and certainly the way you've introduced them. There's a lot to be looking forward to, and thank you very much for your time. Enjoy the rest of your day with us here in the city of Cape Town.
Thank you, Pete.
We hope you enjoyed this content of the Talking Transformation podcast. Please feel free to give us feedback via our Twitter platform, that's at TalkingTransfo and the number one, or alternatively via our email address, talkingtransformation101@gmail.com. Thanks and recognition also to Tribal Need for allowing us to use their track, Flags, as our introductory and closeout music on this podcast.